Looked at the recording, I'm like, oh!
Alright, so a couple of things while I'm doing this. First off, like I said, I'll get your exams done hopefully by the next time I see you. The other thing is that we now have not just one person, although we only got one person that got extra credit for submitting their paper early, now we have two people who have submitted their papers in this class. So time is ticking. Time is of the essence. Do it. Get it done. Get it out of the way. But of course, before you do it, make sure you go to my website and you review how I'm going to grade it. Because this is not about you being the world's greatest writer. Rather, this is about your ability to follow directions. Fine, I don't care. Thank you. Work. Why is this not working for me? Exit show. Cancel that. We're having technical difficulties here, ladies and gentlemen. Restart the computer. One induction is in the power. There we go. All right, so papers are in. That's due November 22nd. By 11:59 p.m. That counts as 20% of your grade. And of course, all of the directions are on proflamanic.com. Good papers, follow directions. Bad papers, don't follow directions. Good papers get good grades. Bad papers, not so much. So I'm assuming all of you are pretty intelligent, and I'm assuming you're going to lean towards the good papers and follow the directions so you can get a good grade.
That would be lovely. So that will be that. The other thing that I was going to try doing it at the end of class, but because we're taking forever to get the technology to work for me, I'll do it now. We all know what tomorrow is.
Here is my apolitical statement. Vote. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care what issue you're for or what issue again. I don't care. Vote. But don't vote just to vote. Be an informed voter. I mean, obviously, many of you might have voted already because of early voting. That's great. Hopefully you took the time to research all of the people who are on the ballot. Not just the big ones. Because remember, you have the ability not only this time around to vote for who is going to be our next president, but you're also voting on who is going to be our next U.S. senator, who is going to be your congressman or woman. You also are going to be voting on your local state legislatures, your state senator, your state representative. There are other positions on there, like the governor's council. I don't think there's any registers for any of the courts on there, but maybe, I don't know. Plus, you have the ballot questions. Before you go into the voting booth, study the ballot. Figure out who is for what you believe in and give them a vote. Which cause do you believe in? Give it a vote. If you don't believe in the cause, vote no then. And if you can't find anything on the people, this is probably going to be one of the most shocking political statements that I'm ever going to make to you. If you can't find anything on the candidate, you don't have to vote for them. You can leave it blank. Because leaving a choice blank sends a message almost as strong as a garbage vote. Because what happens is the candidates get their returns. They'll see, okay, how many people voted for me? Who voted for the other person? And they also get a tally of how many votes were blank.
The last time I was up for election, because I serve in local office in my town, there were about 1,500 people who voted. I received 1,250 votes. I was running unopposed. So 250 people in my town chose not to vote for me. You know what? I started doing a head scratcher and thinking, what's up with that? What am I doing wrong? And it caused me to change some of my behavior. A blank vote is as strong as a garbage vote. Always remember that. Oh, and don't do what anyone tells you to do. Just because mom or dad or your friends or TV or some Hollywood person tells you to vote for a person doesn't mean they're worthy of your vote. You make that decision. And lastly, almost there, there you go. Don't regret your vote. There's nothing worse than when you wake up the next day and you're like, oh, why did I vote for that person? That's just an awful feeling. But if you go uninformed, you'll have nothing to worry about. Slideshow from current slide.
I'm pretty sure this is where we left off, yeah? No, one more click.
Appealing to vote climate.
King's Great Matter. Oh, yes.
How much more political can you get than a king wanting an annulment from the queen? Why did he want an annulment?
He needs an heir, and she's not able to give him a living son.
How brutal was that for those of you who are here? 6 pregnancies in a span of 8 years, 1 living child. She must have been shattered. And I know that from a fact because I've read some of her letters. She took full blame to her husband, for her husband, excused him, that it was all her fault. She begged for his forgiveness, begged for his love and support. And what does he decide to do? Kick her to the curb! And he doesn't just want a divorce, he wants an annulment, which is what?
Never was.
It's as if it never was. Erasing 17 years of marriage. By the way, what would that do to the daughter from the marriage, Mary?
No inheritance.
She's now legally going to be a bastard. Imagine that doing to your child. Or ladies, or guys, imagine if your dad did that to you. Well, the Pope had strong feelings on this, which was what? Did I do spoilers?
You just ended with his appeal.
But I didn't say what the Pope said?
Oh.
He did, yeah. He quoted scripture. I told you, I wasn't kidding. He was an intellectual. He was a scholar. Leviticus 18:16. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife, for it is thy brother's nakedness. And Leviticus 20:21. If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. They shall be childless. So here's the question for you. What was the conciliarist movement all about? Why did Luther make his stand? Why did were all these other Protestant movements popping out? What were these people saying about the church?
It was corrupt.
It was corrupt. Who should know the Bible front and back and every page in between?
The Pope.
Who blessed their marriage? How does a king, a Catholic king, get married? Who has to bless it?
The Pope.
If Clement said okay at a time where all across Europe books are being published saying that the church is corrupt, the church is not following scripture, and now we have a situation where a king's quoting scripture and he's fearful for his soul, and he's going to go to hell and potentially drag all of his subjects into hell because the Pope got it wrong? What are the chances that Clement's going to be like, okay? If Clement said okay, he would be saying that Wycliffe and Marsiglio and Huss and Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and all of the other people are right. That the church is not infallible. That the church can be wrong. One yes or no could potentially destroy the entirety of the Catholic Church as an institution. Plus, on top of that, there was a political situation which the Pope had to contend with. Charles V, who was that young kid that I mentioned in passing, who was not only the King of Spain, but was also the Holy Roman Emperor, the guy who kind of let Luther slip through his fingers, he had actually marched into Italy because of a disruption, and he was literally in Rome with an army. Check this out. Charles V, Holy Roman Emperor, King of Spain, was Catherine's nephew. Do you think the nephew loved his aunt? And here's another question to throw out there. Historically speaking, what happens to queens when they're kicked out of the castle? Sent back to the— who's going to take her back? What could Henry do to Catherine if he wanted to? Seriously, have none of you ever thought what it would be to be a king, a sovereign, to have absolute command over the lives of every man and woman in your realm? Oh, I have. What could you do to anybody if you wished? You could kill them. Well, she's not giving me babies, so oops, accidents do happen. Charles was terrified that if the Pope granted an annulment, that means they're no longer married, they're as if they never were married, which means there's no legal protections for Catherine, because she's just some Spanish illegal immigrant in England. Illegal, she has no reason to be there. And what can the king do to illegal immigrants? So, he essentially had strong concerns with the Pope's decision. Which means now the Pope is even going to be less willing to say yes to Henry. And the last point. In order to get a divorce or an annulment, what must both parties do? Agreed. They have to agree. Catherine was as Catholic as you can get. And when you go into a Catholic church and you take those vows, I did. I don't remember the priest saying, well, until you're bored. No, it's death do you part. So, good or for bad, when you make the deal before God, if you are a Catholic, you believe it's forever. So what does that mean? Well, there's going to be some nights that you're going to be swearing at each other. There's going to be other nights you might throw things at each other. There might be other nights that you sleep on the couch. But if you're committed to your faith, you work it out. Well, she was willing to do anything, including continuing to try to get pregnant. Why would she give up on her husband, who, I already told you, she loved? So the Pope can't say, okay, because she doesn't want it, plus he has a literal sword at his throat. And if he says yes, oh, all the conciliarists and all of the Protestants are right. So in the end, the Pope sent back word to Henry VIII and said no. So, when you don't get what you want, what do you do next?
Start your own religion.
No, not yet. Because you've got to figure a way to get out of it legally. So you know what Henry did? He decided to sue. He took his prime minister, Cardinal Wolsey, went into the papal courts and actually sued Catherine, his wife, to force her to agree to an annulment. Again, if you were king, what would you do to get your own way? I forgot to do attendance. Aaron is here, John is here, Wyatt is here. Trent is hiding way in the back. Donovan's not dead. It's a good thing. Michelle, Alina, Tarandi. Oh my God, wait, oh no. I'm not going to say the perfect attendance. There's no way we could have perfect class attendance today. Christabel Whitney's here. Nope, Demir. Oh, yep. Oh, well, I was excited there for a second. Mm-hmm. Trinity. Christian's here today. Mikey's here today. Ava. Angie. Amy. All right. Beginning in 1527, right after he gets his response from the Pope, he takes his prime minister, sets him aside, and says, we got to go through the courts. We got to obtain this separation. Henry would even go so far as to accept a divorce, even if he didn't get an annulment, if that could get him out of his marriage. But for 6 years, this went on. For 6 years, stories of the king's great matter were read by the town criers. For 6 years, every man and woman in England were gossiping, talking about, shocked and mystified by the king's great matter. You could not avoid it. Well, at the same time, the king was pursuing other things. The king knew the fact that Catherine did not produce a male heir was not his fault. I said last class, he slept around and he produced a bastard, Henry Fitzroy. So he knew his royal member was working fine. So what did he start to do? Well, he's the king. He starts sleeping around with any woman that catches his attention. And no one would say no because he's the king. Until one woman actually said no. and that caught his attention.
She was alluring. She was sultry. She was intelligent. She was witty.
She was coy. And she started playing games with the king, stringing him along, which only made him lust for her even more. And then he, being a guy that only had one thing on his mind, started doing those things that all men start doing. Hey, baby, come with me. I'll give you anything. I'll give you jewelry. I'll give you palaces. I'll give you title to huge tracts of land. I'll even make you my queen. And eventually, she gave in. And, biologically speaking, it doesn't happen all the time, but what is the natural culmination of those intimate moments that occur between the bed sheets? Oh. You got the chicky boo with a bun in the oven. Tick, 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 tick. The timer starts ticking. Tick, 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 tick. He's in court. Nothing is going right. It just keeps getting delayed in motions, in continuances, and he's getting frustrated because tick, 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 tick. The timer's going off. And by the way, how much time is on the timer before the timer goes off at the most? 9 months. And what happens if it goes ding? Out pops the bun. Then we got another bastard on our hand. And do we even know what it is? Nope. You got a 50-50 shot of it having an innie or an outie. How much would you risk?
Well, I know how much Henry would risk. The souls of his entire nation.
To get a male heir. In 1533, when his lover, Anne Boleyn, was pregnant, he deals with the Archbishop of Canterbury, which was the religious hub in England. The highest religious figure, the archbishop, who was actually a closet lowlord and Protestant, Thomas Cranmer. And Cranmer says, "Your Majesty, you don't need an annulment. You don't need an annulment. Because there's nothing in the Bible that says a king can't get a divorce." So he grants Henry a divorce. Without even asking Catherine if she accepted. The king then takes that piece of paper and he begins to move. Why? Tick, 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 tick. Time's running short. He kicks Catherine out of the palace, basically puts her under house arrest at a big castle in the countryside.
Didn't she get sent to a nunnery?
No. No, she went to a secluded palace. Henry actually visited her sometimes too. Because apparently he might have felt a little guilty. Gone. Gone. He then declares he's in love. He tells his nation. And he's going to get married. Even though there's a little belly bump showing. We call those shotgun weddings in certain parts of the country. But on a global level, the Pope finds out and he excommunicates Henry. Kicks Henry out of the Catholic Church. And what happens to all of the subjects of the land who follow a king who has been excommunicated? Well, essentially, they're all excommunicated too. But Henry doesn't care because he's got a new wife, he makes her his queen, and she's going to give him what he wants. Not at all. What's in Anne's belly? Oh, shit. After all of that, out pops Elizabeth. Oh, man. But that's okay. That's okay. Anne is young. Henry is a stud. There's more opportunities. So while he allows Anne to recover, he goes about and starts creating a whole new Protestant church. Sometimes referred to as the Anglican Church, or to be a little more precise, the Church of England. Now here's the funny thing about the Anglican Church during the reign of Henry. It's created by an act of Parliament. So the secular government creates this new church. And guess who Parliament puts in charge?
King.
Henry. Parliament makes Henry not only the secular king, but the temporal leader of England. He is the crown and the Pope combined, which means his law is now church law. And what happens if you don't follow the king's law? Not only can he cut your head off, but where are you going to go? You're going to go to hell. But here's the funny thing. If you ever have opportunity to see what Henry did as head of the church, he didn't create a new theology. He didn't engage in like scriptural dispensations. He didn't create a new religious perspective. No. He used the church as a political tool. He targeted his enemies. People who dared criticize the king. He called them heretics. Took their lands, took their money, and sometimes killed them, sometimes exiled them. And here's the funny thing. Parliament, in all of this, supported the king. Because guess what the king did with some of the church lands and stuff, and the lands of his enemies that he took? He shared. He engaged in redistribution. So if you were a member of Parliament and you were loyal to him, he would give you a palace of someone that he made disappear. But Parliament was also motivated to support the king because by pulling the England out of the Catholic Church, now the government could seize all the monasteries, all of the church lands that were England, and keep all of the money that was once going to Rome in England. The entire personal wealth of the population went up proportionally because now people aren't giving it to the Catholic Church. Now, eventually, Henry would get around to tweaking the theology of his new church. And he did so when he issued in 1539, which became known as the Six Articles. This was the creed and ceremonies of the new church. But the irony was is that if you ever have the ability to read those, it's the same as the structure and rules of the Catholic Church, including a mandate that masses be in Latin, that the priests are still to wear the Catholic Church habits. All of the saints, all of the holy days of obligation, everything is to remain the same, except for cross out Pope, put King. Why? I already told you. Henry actually loved the Catholic faith. So he kept it. And it proved useful to him. Not only economically, but also in the boudoir. Because after a few years of getting rid of Catherine, Henry grew bored of Anne and started sleeping around because he was king. But Anne was a lowlord and she was very strongly opinionated. And sometimes her opinions insulted the men at court. So bit by bit, little by little, they began conspiring against her. And one noble in particular introduced his daughter to Henry. And he fell more in love with her than he did with his wife. So what happens to poor Anne? She's pushed aside for the new chick, Jane Seymour. Oh, but wait, they're still married. That's problematic. Not really. Because Anne would be charged with treason by going against the will of the king. And adultery. Supposedly she slept with six men. And she was charged with incest. Because one of the men, supposedly, allegedly, was her own brother. Yeah, right? Well, what do you think the jury said when she went on trial? Guilty! And what happened to her? Off with her head. They brought in a henchman who would behead her, not with an axe. Henry actually brought in a swordsman to do it. If you're going to get beheaded, you want to get beheaded by a guy who has an axe because of physics. Longer handle, all the weight at one end, it's going to come down. And it's going to cut your head off at the neck. A sword? It didn't just take one. It didn't just take two. It would take three blows. There's no proof that she died after the first blow. But who cares? He has his new love, adores her, falls more in love with Jane than even the love he had for Catherine. Which, by the way, is the reason why he is buried with her at Windsor Castle. Or the cathedral that's at Windsor Castle. And she gets pregnant. And out pops a boy. Edward. But unfortunately, the birth was traumatic, not to the child, but to the mother. And so within a few weeks after the birth of Edward, Jane dies. But who cares? He has a son. Ooh. But what was the rate of infant mortality like during this period? If you're going to secure your dynasty, do you just want to have one son?
Heir and a spare.
Oh, yeah, you got to have an heir and a spare. So this means he has to get a new wife. So he deals with his political advisors, and by this point, England technically is a Protestant nation, and some of his advisors basically said, well, you should make an alliance with some of the Protestant states that are starting wars against the Catholic states, because it could be our political advantage. So some of his representatives go out to some of the palaces of some of these German states that have become Protestant, and they go with the court artists and they draw pictures of potential wives. And one of them, he is told, is strikingly beautiful. Anne of Cleves. So, the king gets this portrait back, and he's like, okay, I could live with this. She's got nice, wide, birthing hips. She's got a pretty attractive face. All right, I could live with that. I could live with that. So he says yes, without even meeting her. So they pick her up, they take her to the coast, they put her on her boat, sail her over to England, bring her into the palace. Henry decides he's going to play a game. Because they apparently had communicated a couple of times with letters. And she wanted to see if it was true love. So he doesn't sit on the throne. He doesn't dress like a king. Instead, he just dressed like a guy in court. She shows up in a foreign country. By the way, she came from a German state. Guess what language she did not speak?
English.
She spoke German. She did not speak English.
She did not speak.
Oh, yeah. Right, so she gets in there, she's nervous as can be, she's in a foreign country, you got all these powerful men looking at her, all speaking a foreign tongue, and she does not find Henry in the audience. Which pisses him off, he's wicked insulted by that. Then he goes up and he starts talking to her, and guess what she can't do? She can't answer! He was told she spoke English! So he starts speaking French to her. And her French was really bad, which infuriated him more. And he said, fine, no, I'll get married to her. So they get married. Then they have to consummate the marriage. And guess what does not happen?
They don't consummate.
Why? The royal member is at half-mast. You know why? At this point, he's hugely overweight. He spends most of his time drinking. His health is not exactly as good as it can be. And if word spread that the king can't get it up, how's that going to look gossip-wise? Not good. So, to save his own face, he declares that he finds her ugly. That she looks like she has a horse face. And instead of giving it another go, he demands for a divorce. Which she agrees to. So, Henry hooks her up. Sets her up in a palace, gives her a good stipend, And by the way, she was actually the last of all the wives living. Another weird thing, Henry and Anne actually became friends after there was the divorce. He taught her how to speak English. They liked playing chess together. But you know what they never did? They never had sex. He treated her more like a sister. So now she's gone. He still's going to have one on the side. He's still going to have an heir. So he goes and finds another one. And this time, he gets infatuated with, I guess we could best describe her, as a toy, a plaything. Catherine Howard, another lady at court, lady in waiting, who was there to attend, you know, the business of the queens. But she was young. Henry apparently met her when she was like 15, 16. And around the time she was like 17, Henry decides he wants to get married to her. But the problem is he's 47. She's 17. At this point, he weighs over 300 pounds. And he was 5'5", I think. So he was rotund. He also had an oozing ulcer on his leg, on his thigh. He suffered an injury in a joust, and they never healed it because he was embarrassed to say that he was in pain. So he kind of hit it, and it just kind of ulcified. It was so bad, it was said you could smell when the king was coming. Now, ladies, I don't want to put you in the spot, but I know none of you are 17, but some of you might be 18 or 19. Would you want to do it with a 5'5", 300-pound-plus guy that's 30 years older than you, plus smells like rotting flesh? Would that be a real turn-on? Well, apparently she did do her queenly duty a couple of times, but she was repulsed. And eventually, being a young lady, she kind of fell smitten with some of the younger guys that were at court, and she started sleeping around. King found out, charged her with treason, and cut her head off. Henry then got married a sixth time. I'm not going to say loved her. I'm not even going to say lusted for her. But he found out about Catherine Parr, who was an eligible widow. And she was knowledgeable, and she was well known and well respected in around the circles that traveled in court. So she agreed to be Henry's queen, but there's no evidence that they consummated the marriage, because at this point, the king probably couldn't. And apparently she was more like a nurse than a wife, because his health was so poor. But he had a wife. And then just a few years later, he died. Bless you. But now we have a problem, my friends. We have a wicked problem. The first problem being is I think we're out of time. Oh, no, I got a couple of minutes left. But the second problem is why did he go out and make a new church? For him. So he went out and started a new church, not because he cared about the souls of his people. He started a new church for him. And he's dead. What do you think is going to happen to the church? Well, it depends on who's in charge. Because now, under the laws of England, whoever sits on the throne is the head of the church. So Henry's belief was that the church should be like the Catholic Church, because he loved the Catholic Church. But he's dead. So now an opportunity would happen when the next king or queen comes in. Well, who's it gonna be? Because this is going to impact the lives of every man and woman and child in England. But no worries, Henry was not dumb. A few years before his death, he passed a law that laid out who his heirs are going to be. Under the Act of Succession, 1543, his son Edward, being the male heir, even though he's the youngest living child, would succeed his father. By the way, at this point, Henry Fitzroy had died, so that's the reason why he wasn't included. But Edward, the son of Jane Seymour, he is the immediate heir. But if anything happens to him and he dies heirless, notice what he does. Henry demands that his daughter, by Catherine, is going to be sovereign. Wait, hold on a second. She's a she. How can she be sovereign? Right, it's not the Catholic Church anymore. Whose church is it?
Church of England.
Yeah, and who made the Church of England? So who gets to make all the rules? He is so focused on his family, he declares against hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of tradition that women cannot rule. He declares he knows more than anybody, so he says his daughter will be queen if his son dies without an heir. Oh, and by the way, if Mary, the daughter of Catherine, dies with no heir, then the daughter of Anne Boleyn, Elizabeth, is going to be his heir. Oh, and by the way, if she dies with no heir, then it's going to go to the descendants of his sister. It's all about dynasty. His sister, Margaret, had gotten married to the King of Scotland, and her descendants were still on the throne. Now you're going to potentially bring in a ruler from another country to rule over England? Does Henry care? It's about dynasty more than anything else. Well, we'll see how the kids did next class. And by the way, obviously when we come back on Wednesday, Tuesday will be done. Remember, what any of your friends do doesn't matter. It's only what you do. So no knitting, yelling, screaming. Vote.